have one more public comment, I don't see any comments there. Have one, the consent agreement.
Make a motion to approve the consent agenda as presented.
I second it.
Have a motion to second to approve the consent agreement, any discussion? If not, all in favor, aye.
Aye.
Tab two.
Tab two is purchase of new air compressors for the plant. When we built that plant, we put, what's the brand on them that we put in?
Atlas Copco.
Atlas Copco, Copco compressors in there. They're a pretty good compressor. They were really, they were a little bit undersized for the nano plant that we started out with down there, because we, you know, we use that building for our maintenance shop in addition to the treatment plant, you know, so we're using a lot of air. We're using air everywhere down there, and I think the engineers underdesigned it just a little bit to begin with. When we came back and we built the, added the nano to our treatment plant, we decided to leave them there. We knew eventually we were gonna have to replace them because they were already undersized. But anyway, we left them there so that we could get all the good out of them before replacing them. We've known for a while that we would eventually have to replace those things. They're expensive compressors. I mean, they're pretty good sized compressors and they're expensive. It's the real first big maintenance item we purchased since, we've made lots of expenditures, but not a replacement like this. You know, when we set up that capital maintenance and trust account, that was why we set it up so that we, if we had an unbudgeted maintenance type item where we had to replace some equipment, it would come out of this, the maintenance trust account. By rule, whenever we pull money out of that, I, the board needs to approve that coming back out. That's what I'm asking for today. I'm asking for you to let us pull $120,000 out of that maintenance trust account. Right now, that balance on that account sits at, let's see. Do you have it there? Well, the total is $6.8 million. The total interest that we've earned on it, and the intent was to buy, maintain out of the interest. The interest in there is $187,000. So we have enough. We've earned enough interest to pay for these new compressor pumps. We're not asking to purchase the equipment yet. I kind of know what we're going to purchase, but we're going to purchase it in a manner so that you guys don't have to vote on all of it. I'll tell you what we're going to do. But what we're asking you to do is approve us moving 120,000 out so that we can get this equipment purchased and then pay for the labor. The way we're going to do it, I think all the equipment altogether, if you look at that second page, is around $64,000. That's two compressors, two pretty good sized compressors, $16,700 each, and then the main dryer is $12,800, and then the rest is just miscellaneous parts, and then we've got about that much in labor. The way we propose to do is we're going to buy all of the equipment except the compressors in one purchase. We can do that without going out and bidding it out, because this is the brand that we want. And then we're going to buy one compressor, and we're just going to put the compressor in the shop. We're going to install all the dryers so that they're ready for the new compressors, and then we're going to keep running those that we've got until they crap out on us. We're going to run them till they drop, and when they drop, we'll have one sitting in the shop down there. We will have already configure everything so it'll just drop in there. So when the first one craps out, we'll just drop in a new compressor, then we'll buy the other compressor, set it in the shop, and when the second Copco craps out, we'll put that other compressor in. So we're just getting ready. It's going to probably take us a year, maybe 2 years, to get it all in, but we're just going to have everything available so that we know they're not going to last much longer.
How long have they been in place, Kevin?
They've been in place 5 years.
Ever since
we started the plan up. Yes, sir. 6 years, I guess. It was they went in 2011.
Are those the only two that we have on there?
That's it. We just got two.
That's about what you expect out of the wire.
Nah, you would expect them to last longer than that, but they're undersized, and you know, I don't know. Wouldn't you say that's probably not the best brand that we could have. This Kaiser that we're proposing, it's gonna last longer. They're gonna last longer than 5 years. You know, we hope to get, you know, 10, 20 years out of them. But the one that we've got, I think, you know, I think our first operator didn't take real good care of them. So we put a lot of wear on them the first year just because we didn't know any better. They require food grade oil in them, and the JD can tell you the food grade oil doesn't last any time. But because we're interacting with the water with them, you have to have oil. You have to have oil that's not dangerous in it. And I don't think we replace that oil enough early on. Whenever we first started them up. Right now we're on after we figured that out, we got on a maintenance agreement, so the manufacturer's been coming out and replacing them. But still they were undersized and not real good compressors to start with. Weren't designed real well. It just was not the best system that we could have had. But we think the Kaiser that we're gonna go back with is expensive, but it should last us for quite a while once we get it all in. We can't operate without them. Everything down there operates. All of our controls operate off of air pressure. And I think the most of the air we do is off of air scrubs. Those micro filters in the first unit. That's how JD cleans them. Is you scrub them with air bubbles. I mean, you want to explain how you clean?
Every 40 minutes, we got two skids down there, every 40 minutes we'll do a reverse flow. We've already got filtered water standing in the tank, and these air bubbles will come up, and you've seen those, it looks like spaghetti in there. Well, they start shaking, well, it breaks all the big coagulated parts off of it, and we've got a pump that pushes water back down so it flushes it at the same time that those air bubbles are scrubbing. So both those things are coming on every 40 minutes, so it's pretty much every 20 minutes after the other one runs, so those air compressors are too small, so they're constantly running that food grade oil. Once it gets heated up, it starts to, you know, ball up on us, and it's causing a lot of problems in there.
Well, will this new one have larger tank?
Yeah.
It'll have a larger tank. It's just a lot larger. Everything about it is bigger. Yeah.
And it won't be a refrigerated unit. That's what we're having problems with. Also, it's got a small air conditioner on it, so it cools the air down to condensate the water out. And those things, we're having a problem, and every time we get Atlas Copco down here to fix something, it's $4,000 or $5,000. So we're getting away with that. So if we do have problems in the future, we can plug in a regular air compressor with that condensate dryer we've got and not skip a beat.
This new one will not have an air conditioner?
No.
It's large enough to keep the air.
That's why we're putting those dryers in place. We don't have to have a license. You got to be a refrigerator guy with a license to change out that stuff and come and fill them. So after this, it's all going to be...
That's one more last thing to go wrong with it, too.
Yes, sir.
It was the engineers designed that. It was a package unit. It did two things. It compressed air and it dried its own air. So it had a compressor and a refrigerator in it. And we've decided that that's not a good design, because it's better to have just a compressor, just a good solid compressor, and then dry your air separately. And so that way, you know, you don't have everything going on in the same piece of equipment. It's easier to maintain over the long haul, and the compressor will outlast the dryer that came packaged on that first one. But anyway, that's what we're proposing to do.
How much interest on average do we get a year off that?
You know, we were getting less than a point. It was, what was it, Lee, around 4.5, 0.6.
That's
about where it's been. Right now,
we're up to 1.4, aren't we?
We're up to 1.4. That was back when, you know, we've had this money.
CDs we've done the last 60 days.
Yeah, for nearly the whole time we've had that money sitting in that account, it's drawn less than 1 point. But here in the last 8 or 10 months, our renewals that we've done on the CDs are up over point, like 1.4 were the last ones that we signed. So we're more than double the interest rate today that we were, you know, 2 years ago. So that interest is going to accumulate faster. That $180,000, it took a long time to generate that because interest rates were so low.
$6 million at 1.5 is $90,000 a year, and we're $6.5 million.
Yeah.
So it's a significant sum of interest now.
I move that we authorize the general manager to transfer $120,000 to the capital maintenance fund to the general fund.
I second.
Okay, we have a motion and second to transfer $120,000. Any further comment? If not, all in favor, aye.
Aye.
Ayes have it. We'll go to tab three.
This is something Ben had asked me to put on the agenda just so y'all could discuss it and we could all get comfortable with these meeting cancellations. Last week, when I talked to Ben, we weren't going to have an agenda item. This one on I hadn't realized that we needed to vote on that $120,000 when I was talking to Ben, but it came up, so we did have an agenda item. But here for the last couple of months, for the last year, we find ourselves with a board meeting coming up and no action. And our procedure that we follow is I call Ben and ask him if he wants to cancel the meeting. That's how it's supposed to work. Ben was wondering if we should have a policy in place as to how many meetings in a row we could cancel without you guys meeting. So I guess he's actually asking what are y'all comfortable doing with regard to meeting cancellations? It does not matter to us. I mean, it's whatever y'all's pleasure is. Since you moved the meetings to 8:00, I mean, it's really convenient for the staff to do it.
Well, I just thought that we're elected to work with the staff, and it's a fiduciary responsibility to oversee. Not that we want to have another meeting, and yet that's what the county has asked us to do, is they voted. So I thought we probably ought to set a policy since things are running so smooth, and that's great. I mean, we compliment you on that, but we continue to have the relationship, and that I don't know anybody that feels uncomfortable. Don't misunderstand. I've heard anybody say that, but I just thought instead of Kevin and I just making the decision, we don't meet for 6 months if we don't have that. We probably ought to decide by the board what we ought to do and how we ought to do it. So we just want to hear what you've got to say and think.
I think we're fine. I would not go more than a 3 months without meeting. So two consecutive meetings, I think you're fine, and then meet the third month. Certainly, they're going to notify us and have a meeting if there's something they need to tell us. I wouldn't go 6 months by any means, but I think it's okay to miss a couple of months.
Yeah, great.
A lot of boards meet quarterly, and
donuts are gonna
way our schedule of setting and approving the budget and all that. We can't go that long typically, but it seems like in the winter that there's been several times where 2 months of missing a meeting would be fine, and then I'm comfortable with that.
I assume prior to the board meeting, you prepare an agenda item.
We start working on it the Monday prior. Kim has to have it, since we're meeting 8:00, Kim has to have it down to the courthouse by the end of the day Thursday. That's kind of our schedule. We work on this packet all week long, the week prior to the meeting. One thing that we can do, I think we have been started doing it on the meetings that we cancel, still send you these reports at the back that give you all the financials and everything. I mean, we can continue to do that, and I may, we can send you on the meetings that we do end up canceling, we can send you whatever you want us to send you, because we generate, other than we don't have anything to write up, but we do, we still get all the reports. If y'all'd like to have those by email or in hard copy.
I don't think it created any hardship, except I'm like Ben, we require to acknowledge what you're doing.
Right.
The only thing that if we do skip a meeting, that you might just tell us what is going to take place between that meeting and the one that we're going to have, the next one we're going to have.
Yeah.
So that we can kind of answer the questions that they're asking.
Okay.
And, but I don't have a problem. Meetings are necessary at times, but if they're not necessary, I've been in a lot of meetings I didn't think were necessary. I'll put it that way. But
yeah.
I think the ones we do suffice to keep us from bias. But just out of written reports, and it might be nice if we just had a little letter to some point what we're going to be doing over the next time. So that I doubt if anybody would ask any questions, but if they do, so yeah, we talked about that one.
Do you want to change the bylaws to something like Lee said? You want to say that we want at a minimum we want to meet every third month? So, or do you want to just keep playing it by ear?
Well, they're scheduled monthly.
Yeah.
So it's hard to come up with ahead of time what you need to meet and you don't.
Yeah.
You have to decide that.
I think it's. I'm not uncomfortable with the president and Kevin just making that decision, and maybe we pass a resolution that says we're not to miss more than two consecutive months.
Well, that's what I
at the discretion of the president and the general manager. That way, it's not set on a quarterly basis. It's set on. I mean, it could be 2 months that are in. Two different quarters, you know what I'm saying? And it's depending on how it falls. So, but the discretion, I find it fine, the discretion that y'all are using now.
Yeah, well, Kevin and Ben wouldn't let us go without an action item being addressed, I'm sure. But if we are going to address some pertinent information that we would like to, I mean, that we would like to have, I'd like to have that
opportunity.
I don't, one thing I don't know to a lot of the questions, but I think we should know that.
Yeah.
You know, another thing I had thought, the possibility, I don't have, it's not a suggestion, but a possibility, and that is that if we don't have a meeting, we pass two, that the three officers would just come and observe what's going on, how it's going, and so forth, and we could drop a note or an email to the rest of the board. But Lee, that's what I had suggested to Kevin before, that we wouldn't go more than two.
Right.
And so.
So it gives you the right to cancel two consecutive meetings, and then it's automatically meet on the third.
Right.
No matter where it falls in the quarter, no matter what it is happening.
I don't think it's going to happen much, to be honest with you. Because, you know, during the summer when we're doing budgets, tax rates, things like that, we always meet all summer long. It only occurs right around before Christmas and after Christmas. And typically something comes up after 2 months. So I think if you put a policy in place that says we're not going to miss more than two, that's not going to inconvenience
it. I'd rather have a policy that we follow.
Well, okay. If y'all want to make that recommendation, We'll write up some changes to the.
You have it under a resolution here.
I have it under a resolution. I didn't write a recommendation because I didn't know what y'all were going to want to do. But if you want to make.
I make a motion. We have a resolution that says we cannot miss more than two consecutive months of board meetings at the discretion of the president and the general manager.
Second.
Got a motion. Second.
Any
further comments? All in favor, aye.
Aye. Thank you. All right, I've got FEMA on here. Been dealing with FEMA. They've approved paying for the 2015 cleanup that we did down at the river. It was $140,000. They're going to pay 75% of it. So we're going to get about $100,000 back from them on that. They've also agreed to pay for the cleanup from the flood last summer. We haven't cleaned it up yet. We expect it's going to be about the same when we get around to cleaning it up, but they're going to pay 75% of the actual costs on it. So
So we're getting 75% of 2 years' cost of
cleanup? That's correct.
Managing a little more cleanup this time, wasn't it?
It's hard to tell with the water in there, but I think it's a little bit more, yeah.
We had a lot more water come down.
Yeah, we did.
That island is building out there.
You can kind of tell by that island. That island's a little higher than it was last time.
I just wonder why, what stopped the water to start it? Something hanging up there.
You think they got an island on, you know, looking rather good.
Oh, hey, yeah. Look at where they dig gravel now. That's cool. River used to be there.
Well, they can start digging that island out and get a lot of gravel out there.
The other thing, we've been working on Sunset Park, you know, in January of 2015, we did an emergency intercut connect with Sunset Park. We put them online and they've just been tickled to death out there since they started getting our water. But we've had to go through the process of canceling their CCN with the Public Utility Commission, and that's taken 2 years to do it. I got approval a couple weeks ago, so the CCN is finally canceled. Now we've got to go to the TCEQ and cancel their public water supply. So they've got two entities. You got a CCN, which really makes them kind of like a district in itself, and then you've got a public water supply that makes them, you know, a water supply. So we've got to cancel that out. Then that'll be gone. But it's going to take, when it's all said and done, it's probably going to take 2.5 years to have got those guys put on our system.
Do our attorneys have to?
Now, you know, I'm mentioning our attorney. Skip retired about a year ago.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I haven't replaced him just because I didn't want to start paying a retainer on another attorney. We never did pay a retainer to Skip. He'd been with us so long, we just used him. I think to have another attorney, we're going to have to pay a retainer. So I was really waiting until we had a real need for an attorney before we started paying a retainer. But I've got two or three names of water attorneys, and you know, if time comes that we need one, I'll come to you guys and we'll talk about getting one. But yeah, I've been doing that all myself. That may be part of the problem. It's taken so long, but we're able to do it without an attorney.
No,
it just drags out whenever you don't have an attorney involved.
We took over that well.
We shut that well down.
You just replaced it with our water.
Yes, we did. We just cut loose from that well they had. The well's ours.
Doesn't function anymore.
All of the equipment. Whenever we get the time, we're going to go out there and remove all the equipment and send it to the scrapyard. The well, we've offered it to the groundwater district as a monitoring well. I think they'll eventually pull the pump out of it and use it as a ground well water monitoring.
That'd be a good one to monitor.
Yes, it would.
That's good.
We offered them several wells. They're monitoring two of them now, right? They're monitoring one right here on the other side of the lake, and then the one down there below the gate. But I think they spend enough money in Somerville County. They're putting monitoring wells in some of their other counties, but he'll eventually get back over here and put some more around Somerville County.
When do they give us a reading periodically to know what?
No, but you can go online. You can go online real time. And you can look at it. You can go to the USGS. No, it's the Texas Water Development Board website and look at groundwater well monitoring stations, and you'll see that one. And you'll see we've actually got three or four. There's one in the city that's being monitored, and there's one up at the power plant that's being monitored. Four in Somerville County. You can look at them, and you can look at the graph, and you can see exactly what's going on real time with groundwater. I'll tell you something interesting about this one right here. It's just the other side of that rock pile. You see there's an old well up in those trees. It's over there. When we run this well right here, our emergency well, you can see that next day you can see a dip on that well over there. Yes, it drops that fast.
How fast does it recover?
A little bit slower than it drops, but it does recover after a few days. But
that's interesting.
It's way quicker than you would think.
Water moves that fast through the formation.
Does it affect the other wetlands or the other way?
I'm sure it does. I mean, if it affects that well, you would think it would affect.
Probably diminishes with the distance.
It does. Well, you know, you have a cone of depression. If you got a well here, the cone of depression comes up like that. So, you know, the further away that you get, the less it affects you. If there was a well real close, it probably affects Margaret Drake's more than anybody, because she's the closest well to it.
Well, can you tell, I guess it'd be hard to, but has the water table gone up a little bit since we put the water district?
Water table's way up since we started distributing water. Now, unfortunately, these two wells here, they started monitoring them after we started supplying water. So we can't see what it was before we started selling surface water. But the one well that's been monitored down at the city, you know, it's come way up since the city quit using it.
Is that the one across the river?
Yes, sir. Right there next to where they had that diesel spill.
There's a well on that property there that we live on, and you can tell that the pressure, water pressure has come up because not very many people are using it.
Yeah.
So it makes the water pressure better, much better for those that are still on.
Next thing is our water line extension update. If you skip to that second page on that, you can see where we're at. We just finished the Oaks. We've got everybody, all the water lines pressured up and chlorinated. We got 30 meters. I've been saying we had 30 meters to set. 26. We got
26 in the Oaks.
26 in the Oaks, and we've already set.
We've set two.
Because we had 29 meters, just all of a sudden when we came online. We set our own meters. We don't pay the contractor to set the meters. So we have immediately have a backlog of 29 meters when we came online, and our guys are going through and setting all those meters. So, but we're ready to go out there.
So it's already been flushed and ready to sell?
Yes.
Cool.
And now I think that bridge is crossing on there is done. We're getting ready to, right now, there's a piece of equipment sitting out across from the golf course where we're boring underneath Highway 67 to hit the golf course. So the golf course will eventually have our water in their clubhouse and their restrooms. Probably, I don't know what their intentions are. They may stop doing that bottled water deal out there and start having water in barrels again, since it'll be better water. That reason they started doing the bottled water initially was because they got afraid of that groundwater that they were using. But anyway, we're going to solve that. Now they are in the city limits. We had to go to the city manager here a couple months ago. Went to the city council, asked them if it was okay for us to serve that one customer within the city limits. They didn't really have the want to run a line out there just for the clubhouse. So since we were right there, the city allowed us to serve them inside the city limits.
Well, do they still get a water bill from the city? Or
no, anything? No. We're dealing straight with them.
Better for them.
Yeah. Next, we're getting rid of, if you go out 67 west towards Stephenville, just as soon as you cross the Paluxy River, we've got all them little businesses on the right. You've got Staples Home, you've got a taxidermist, you've got a little trailer park, you've got a daycare that's got a bunch of kids in it, some cabins. Six or eight little businesses right there. They've all been on, for the most part, they've all been on two little wells. And since that daycare's really grown, and they're using a lot of water off of it. And when that taxidermist, that meat processor came in, he really started taxing that little well. So they came to us a while back and asked us if we'd go over there, and they're going to take that well offline and let us serve all of them little businesses in that area. So that'll be a good extension for us. But that's where we're going to head to after the golf course.
Well, and that road goes right.
That's 1001 or 1001. We're going to go all the way to the end of the 1001. We've got several customers on it asking for water as well.
Good. It says it right there. I have to read and do that. I went to Google.
So that's what we're doing. That's probably, John thinks, what's that gonna take us, 2 or 3 months?
Yes.
2 or 3, 4 months. His new contract we've got's a little, going a little bit slower, but that's okay. They've got a learning curve they're working under, but that's all I've got.
Are we gonna get to Ridgeview this year? Do we have the money to get to Ridgeview?
I think we're gonna get to Ridgeview. We're gonna try to get Ridgeview started. We've got Fossil Chase.
Fossil Trail.
Let me see, maybe it's
a big one.
Yes, Fossil.
You got 20 people on Fossil Trails.
Fossil Trail is that subdivision on the right-hand side as you're going out of town. It was, you know, when we started running water lines, we decided that, you know, any subdivisions that were completed as of that day, we would run water lines in. Anything new after we started running water lines, we required the developer to run the water. Like out here at Oakview Ranch that Oscar Rowan did a while back, we made him put his own water lines in. But that subdivision out there, it's been sitting there. It was sitting there, wait, 5 years before we started running water lines, and it just never has really taken off. They're planning on putting in a bunch of individual wells in there, community wells. And we've agreed that we'll run out, if they'll plug those community wells, or not plug them, but just not drill those community wells, we would run water lines up in that subdivision. We'll get the 20 customers instead of them being on low water system. So that's where we're headed to next. We committed a couple of years ago to have it done by the end of this year, and we're getting there. So we're going to have to go out and jump out there and do that.
Will we do that trail? What is it?
That's Fossil Trail.
West of it. That trailer park?
That trailer park right next to it, we already have water there. We're selling them water already.
Come down, we don't have to go through the highway there.
We already got a water line running right through the front of this Fossil Trail subdivision. They gave us easement. That's where when we came initially came up with this.
That's where Fossil Chase always.
Fossil Chase is the one where Ronnie Webb lives on the south side of the road.
Yes.
They've already got a community water system in there. We'll eventually run a line in there, but right now they're
on their own.
They're on their own.
Have you had any developer that you wanted you to look at possible water?
No, I hadn't talked to any developers lately. But to answer your question, Lee, we're going to go do this Fossil Trails because we committed to do it by the end of the year, and then I think we're going to have to maybe do a couple other little ones, but try to get to Ridgeview, get started on Ridgeview.
Fossil Trails just has a few houses in it.
It's just got a couple
you
of
got
houses.
20 lots.
I got 20 because...
Yeah, because that's in effect someday.
That's how many customers we're going to have. Those people who are not going to have wells, that's how many right. customers we're going to we're gonna have when it builds out.
Mm-hmm. On the very park, good. Was there groups that came in March? Because there's a big jump in numbers for out of county.
March, probably spring break is what...
Because we go from 152 to 400 for out of county, and I thought, wow.
You know, we have that big Catholic church thing too. I'm not sure.
Yeah, the Catholic church had a big function out here. They had a bunch of, but they wouldn't have been from out of town.
No.
I don't really know what. It's just, you know, as the weather gets good, it just really jumps. And then I think spring break fell during that period.
Yeah, they had a big number that they had not had in the past.
And I was telling you, the scuba dive clubs just pour in here over the weekend when the weather starts getting nice. I came out yesterday just to look and see how it looked, and there was a ton of people down there scuba diving yesterday and Saturday.
That March may be one of the biggest ones we've had.
March Madness.
The weather was good.
25 to 6. All right. No further business. Do we have a motion?
Make a motion, we adjourn.
Second.
Motion, second, we adjourn. All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Thank you for coming.